I am speaking with William Julius Wilson. He is a professor at Harvard University, and he will be speaking at Western Michigan University on Friday at a program which is being hosted by the Lewis Walker Institute for the Study of Race and Ethnic Relations. Thank you very much for taking some time to speak with us.
Oh, thank you.
You have done extensive work on the issues of poverty, persistent poverty in urban areas, as well as the relationship to race. In 2013, how much can we say that poverty is still linked to race, and how much are there other factors that explain it?
Well, poverty is certainly linked to race. One of the legacies of previous racial discrimination, racism and discrimination, is that a disproportionate number of blacks are still poor, lacking the skills and education. And in this day and age, that is a recipe for failure because, unlike in previous years, advancements in society are increasingly based on educational qualifications. And, given the miseducation of so many blacks in the public schools and their high school dropout rates, many are in danger of becoming permanent economic proletarians. And why do I say that? Because fundamental technological changes in our economy have created real problems. You know, the computer revolution rewards skilled workers, including skilled workers who are black, and displaces low-skilled workers. And the growing internationalization of the economy, the global economy, places low-skilled workers in this country, including low-skilled black workers, at an acute disadvantage. Low-skilled black workers with low skill and other low-skilled workers in this country are competing with low-skilled workers in third-world countries. So if you don't have the skills or a decent education in this global economy, your chances for mobility are minimal. So obviously, that's a long answer to the question about the racial legacy, but that's the situation.
Does that gap there between skilled and unskilled workers help explain, at least in part, the growing income disparity, growing income inequality that we see?
Yeah, it's definitely related to the growing inequality as educated workers, what we call the college premium, those who benefit from a college education and advance postgraduate education, are moving further and further away from the rest of society in terms of a widening gap, income gap. You know, there's another problem I want to highlight here. You know, a few years ago, I wrote a book entitled "When Work Disappears," and the subtitle was "The World of the New Urban Poor." And I argued that joblessness in inner-city neighborhoods, like inner-city neighborhoods in Detroit, for example, joblessness in these neighborhoods was reaching catastrophic levels. And I pointed out that in many of these neighborhoods, a majority of the adults were either not working, that is, they were officially unemployed, or have dropped out of the labor force altogether, and therefore they are not officially recorded in the unemployment statistics, or they held part-time jobs, not full-time jobs. So in some of these neighborhoods, a majority of adults are in that situation. And I contrasted the jobless rates in the contemporary inner-city neighborhoods with the jobless rates in these neighborhoods during the 1950s. In the 1950s, These neighborhoods were poor, but people were working. Now, the conditions I described in that book are obviously even worse during this current economic crisis, because not only have rates of joblessness increased significantly, including both unemployment and what we call non-labor force participation, but long-term employment has increased as well. You know, more than 40% of today's unemployed workers have been without work for over 6 months, and a disproportionate percentage of these are black workers. This is the highest rate of long-term unemployment since the Great Depression. And all of the problems that I associate with joblessness, as described in my book, When Work Disappears, published in 1996, have been magnified during this period.
And is Detroit perhaps a good example of some of what we've been talking about here? Because it was at one time a city where people could find good work without a college education, mainly through the auto industry, and those jobs now have been shrinking rapidly over the last several years.
Absolutely. If I were going to think of some cities to provide examples for what I am saying, Detroit would certainly be one of them.
What's the solution, or maybe a couple of ideas? I mean, one solution probably seems a little simplistic, but what are a couple of ideas that might get at some of the long-term systemic problems which cities like Detroit have had?
Well, you know, it's a very, very difficult question, but there are some things that we can do. I would like, for example, to see President Obama support a bill that would target areas of high unemployment, like some of the inner city neighborhoods in Detroit. Target areas of high unemployment with job creation strategies. For example, you might flood these areas with public sector jobs for people who can't find jobs in the private sector, you know, jobs that range from cleaning up parks and playgrounds to working on the infrastructure. And such a program would address high unemployment in a lot of these inner city neighborhoods, but would also combat high joblessness in white, Hispanic, and Asian areas as well. And I'm reminded that Congressman Miller of California has a bill before the House called the Local Job for America Act that's been sitting in the House for some time that sets aside $75 billion over 2 years to save and create 1 million public and private jobs in states and municipalities with the highest jobless rates. What his bill calls for is create public sector jobs and fund salaries for private sector on-the-job training. This is just one example of something we could do if we had the will. And I have no illusions that such a program would be seriously entertained at this time, but it's something to keep on the table.
Well, at one time, if I'm not mistaken, you proposed bringing back some of the ideas from the New Deal, correct?
Yeah.
To try and address some of the high...
Precisely, and that's that's what I talked about in my book, When Work Disappears, you know, New Deal-type programs, because I think we need them now.
And yet, as you say, the political will. Do you question if there is the political will now to try and get something like that done?
Let's put it this way. I think that there is a growing segment of the American population that recognizes that not only the poor who are facing economic problems now and in the future, but a lot of working and middle-class families are on the brink or experiencing economic marginality because of fundamental shifts in the economy. It almost sort of reminds me of of the Depression era, when people really associated high joblessness and other problems with economic constraints, with economic impediments, with high rates of joblessness associated with economic change. And I think now more and more people are beginning to recognize that they are vulnerable to changes in the economy. And maybe if people were, if members of Congress were able to mobilize to push a kind of bill that Congressman Miller introduced, it might receive a good deal of public support because of a growing economic anxiety in the country today.
Now, you brought up President Obama's name, and some people have questioned his political will on this issue, being the first African-American president, being the first president in quite a while who came from an urban area himself. Some people have questioned why he hasn't done more on this issue. Is that a fair criticism?
No, I don't think it is, you know, because, you know, despite all the rhetoric about reclaiming the American dream for middle-class Americans in this past presidential election, I would argue that Barack Obama has done more for lower-income Americans than any president since Lyndon Baines Johnson. And I think that Obama's programs prevented poverty from rapidly rising over the past several years, considering the terrible economy. Let me give you two examples. I could go on and on this, but let me give you two examples. Obama's stimulus package, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, earmarked $80 billion for low-income Americans, which included an extension of unemployment benefits. It included a temporary increase in the Earned Income Tax Credit. It included substantial additional funds for food stamps. It also included, I think it was $4 billion in job training and workforce enhancement programs. It included $2 billion for neighborhood stabilization efforts. A lot of people don't realize that, and just kept poverty from getting any worse, even worse. And also, I consider Obamacare as an anti-poverty program. He risked his presidency passing Obamacare. And over the long term, this health care legislation will significantly benefit lower-income Americans. So I would be the last person to say that he hasn't addressed some of these issues.
Bringing this back to education for a moment, how much of the issue of poverty is centered around education, and what could we do about access to quality education, both at the K-12 level and also for higher education, which, you know, may include technical training as well as a four-year university?
Yeah. Boy, you know, that's a given. That's an important question, because given the miseducation of so many blacks in the public schools and their high dropout rates, you really have to address that issue, because technological changes in our economy today are just require more education. And if you don't have skills, you don't have a decent education in this economy, your chances for mobility are minimal indeed. And, you know, this is a problem that all low-skilled workers face, but it's even more of a problem for low-skilled blacks because of the problem of race and employer racial preferences, not to mention the added problem of segregation, which decreases access to areas of employment growth. And I think I might add this. The problem is especially acute for low-skilled black males, and many turn to crime and end up in prison, which further marginalizes them and decreases their employment opportunities. So, education is so critical. I think that the Obama administration has been trying to address problems of education, particularly in some of the lower-income inner-city neighborhoods with their Race to the Top initiative. But I would like to see even more focused on attention focused on how we can enhance education in the public schools.